Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living. I was, my wife Donna and I, in fact, were at a park within the last several days, and I saw a child walk by, and he had on his t-shirt, "I'm the brat of the family." And I thought, hey, parents, I know that's fun. I know that can be cute, but we got to be careful what we allow our kids to tell themselves about who they are. And you as a parent need to be careful about what you tell yourself that you are as a parent. So how is it that as a parent, we can raise our kids without ever having to raise our voice again, unless there's a fire or something in danger we need to yell about? We can do this. We can use the words that we have in effective ways to encourage our kids, love our kids along the way. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Raising your kids, not your voice. Again, Dr. Randy here from the Intentional Living Center. Love to hear your comment. What one thing are you doing, one thing, to raise your kids but lower the volume? Give us a call, 888-888-1717. This is for our storyline, by the way, because the calls for the program are from our archives and all ready to go for today. Some great calls we'll be getting to in just a moment. In fact, let's get started right off with a mom who made a decision to stop yelling at her kids. And I know that could be tough to do, but let's take a listen of how she did it.
I recognized that I was yelling at my son in the morning, and then anything that I want to deal with him, I do when he comes home from school. That has eliminated any yelling, because it was the only time of the day that I was doing it, and then I would feel guilty all day. I got intentional about what I could change and discovered morning was not a good time to try to communicate.
You can raise your kids without raising your voice. You know, Aditi posted on our Facebook here at Intentional Living, when asked the question, what do you do? It's more quiet, the quiet ways of learning to get your kids' attention. She says, only with God's grace we've been able to do this. And then she went on to say, the only time we raise our voice toward our kids is when they're on the football field and we're cheering. And I think that's a key. How many of us, when you think of it in terms of raising your voice or yelling, often in terms of parenting, it's usually negative. We don't raise our voice saying, great job, you know, but we should. Those, if you're going to raise your voice in terms of cheerleading your kids and encouraging your kids, that's one thing. But I think we tend to anticipate and expect that when a voice is raised toward us or at us, it's going to be negative. It's going to be degrading. It's going to tear us down. Now, parents, listen, we've all been guilty of this at some point in parenting. It's just a universal challenge. But the research is pretty clear that children who are totally bombarded or on a regular basis bombarded with this negativity, especially if it's berating and screaming and what have you, it can be as damaging to the life of a child as physical abuse in many ways, depending on the child. It's a bad thing. And I think as Christian parents, I think there's a little passage in the book of Ecclesiastes that I've often quoted that's not a parenting verse, but it really ought to be. And it's right at the end of chapter 9 of Ecclesiastes, where Solomon in his wisdom, he said, the quiet words of the wise are more effective than the ranting of a king of fools. Now, let that settle in for a moment. You ever feel like sometimes when you talk to your kids, it's the ranting toward a king, as a king of fools, and that's how you feel. Your kids are being so foolish, they're doing things that are upsetting to you, it's driving you crazy, you feel overwhelmed, and you think the only way to get their attention is to continue to raise your voice. Here's the problem. Kids become immune to that, and then they start to respond only when you do raise your voice to a certain level. You don't have to raise your voice to be an effective parent. In fact, I would suggest that the exact opposite is true. It's more effective to lower your voice, even as this verse says, the quiet words of the wise are more effective than the ranting of a king of fools. 888-888-1717, what's one thing you've learned as a parent to help you lower the volume? Because I believe, and I've witnessed over years of working with families, the correlation between raising your volume and being an effective parent is inverse. As you raise it, you're less effective. The really effective parents are those that can speak quietly and then follow through consistently. And that's the goal we want to head toward. What one thing has worked for you to make that happen in your parenting? One thing. 888-888-1717.
Hi, am a screamer, I have to admit, nothing that I'm proud of. What is it? They don't respond to me until I start screaming.
If I'm running late and he throws a fit or he doesn't want to get dressed, I find myself getting frustrated with him very easily. I need to really do something because I feel really bad when I yell at him.
On and off, my husband and I were good some days, and then some days we fail and we start screaming again.
Like if we're in public, I won't yell at the children. I kind of just save it and let it just keep building up. And then once we get in the car, once we get home, I just start yelling. And by that point, you know, they don't even know what they did wrong.
Yeah, boy. Those are just honest parents. Like, listen, you're not alone, so I don't want to send you on a guilt trip here today at Intentional Living. That's not the goal. The goal is to say, hey, we can stop this. We can be more effective. We can accomplish what God's given us to do as a parent without having to raise our voice all the time. And we're going to give you some thoughts on that. In fact, for those who would like to have some tips, if you'd like a list of some one things, we call them the Intentionals, a list of the top 10 for encouraging your children. We have it available at our website. When you go to theintentionallife.com, click on the broadcast highlights and the top 10 list from me to you on encouraging your children, practical things you can do to be a non-screamer. Okay? Let's go to Stephanie's on the line in Michigan today. Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
Hi there. Appreciate your call. How are you today?
I'm doing good.
Says here you grew up with a screamer, huh?
I grew up with a screamer, yes.
How'd that affect you? How'd that affect you?
Well, like you said, you just kind of tuned it out, and then when things got really bad, you knew you had to listen. As I became a young mother, I had a friend who taught me. She had a conversation with her dad one day, whom she worked with on a daily basis and still does. And she said to her dad one day, as he yelled and he yelled some more, she said, "I'm not deaf. I'm ignorant."
And he
kind of looked at her and he was like, oh, you know, like he'd never really thought about it before. They worked on a farm and, you know, he figured the louder he yelled, the more she'd listen. And so after having that conversation with her, I really had to think about what I was doing with my children, three very young girls. And my husband and I had a talk about it because I was telling him about it and he laughed and he's like, yeah, they are yellers. And we started redirecting when we're angry to asking questions to the girls. Why isn't this working? What is the problem? Why are you upset? Or the simple question, can you hear my voice?
That's a good question.
Then they have to respond. I mean, when it's one-on-one, sometimes you have to bend down or, you know, get at their eye level and just say, can you hear my voice? Did you hear what I said? Why aren't you doing what I asked? And the answers vary, obviously, between, you know, what their emotions are, what they were doing, even when they're fighting, you know, say, why are we fighting?
The reason that's effective, Stephanie, is because you're focusing on the problem, you're focusing on the issue, you're giving the child an opportunity to respond, to participate in a discussion. You're still in charge, you're still the parent, there's still going to be some consequence if they don't follow through. And I think what happens with us is when we yell, Stephanie, is when we don't know what else to do, it's the default, like on your computer.
Absolutely.
It's the default we fall back on because we don't have any other plan that seems better at the moment. Now,
right, and if mom's losing her mind, they're going to listen at that point.
Absolutely, but instead of turning to a default of yelling, you've turned to a strategy of we're going to ask questions, we're going to get down on their level, we're going to ask, that's a great question, can you hear my voice? Because that's really respectful.
For my youngest children, that has been the most effective, and for my oldest daughter, it has been, you know, why isn't this working? You know, that's because obviously she's hearing my voice, she's tuning me out.
Right, exactly.
So, you know.
Very effective.
Yeah.
I appreciate your call. Thank you, Stephanie.
All right.
Appreciate it. And congratulations on being an intentional parent today. Certainly, she's found one thing that works for her. I'll tell you, don't you want to be communicated with? Don't you want to be talked with respectfully? Why is it we feel that, even unconsciously, that we can be disrespectful in terms of our communication with our children when we would never use that same tone of voice or communicate that way to someone else's child or to someone in our family, or certainly to a friend, I should say. But it's easy for our kids. Hey, listen, parents, we know it happens. Happens all the time. Giving you strategies today that can work. We got 10 for you online. You can check out at theintentionallife.com.
Hi, Dr. Randy. I have found that the way to handle not yelling is to have a plan of how you're going to react when things don't go your way or when your children don't respond in the way that you want them to. Have a plan. Be proactive. And what I found myself doing is saying, okay, if my son does this, this is how I'm going to react. And if my son does that, then great. This is what my plan was. And I'm ready to respond in the right way. Again, have a plan of how you're going to react when your son or your daughter doesn't react the way you want them to. Practice it out, kind of role play with your spouse, and then this way you won't yell. You'll be ready and you're going to react in a godly way.
Excellent. Boy, we got the smartest listeners on the planet. I believe that. I believe it. And they listen to Intentional Living because you want your life to matter and you want to be intentional. You know, there's a there's another verse by Solomon where he reminds us that a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. In other words, the right word at the right time to the right child in the right way is a beautiful thing. You know, it may not be the child responds the way you would like, may not be a beautiful response, but I'll tell you what, you've done something that's a beautiful thing as a parent. And then learning to follow through. See, children don't ultimately respect the words if there's no backup behind them in terms of logical or natural consequences that are appropriate for their age. Okay, Verna's on the line today. Verna, welcome to Intentional Living Center.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. Go right ahead. What's your comment?
I wanted to make a comment. My mother's mother died when she was 9 years old, and then her father remarried. And Graham was 4'11", and you know, with like a 19-inch waist, and just a wonderful lady. But one day, my mom said she was so mad, she slammed the screen door, and Graham stood at the doorway and said her full name, first, middle, and last. Come back and close that door correctly. That door did nothing to you. And my mom said she never forgot that.
Interesting. Was your mom, did your mom ever, was she a yeller at all?
A few times. And it was very scary when she was.
Because it wasn't a daily activity. It was something like,
right.
Mom's really gone crazy. She's really upset.
Right. And it was not always me that was upsetting her.
Hmm.
But one of the things I've tried to do is acknowledge the feelings, because feelings are never wrong. They're simply feelings. But how we, you know, whether we act on them appropriately or inappropriately is what I tried to work with my son.
Hmm.
It didn't always work, but I tried.
That's good. Now, your children, are they raised now?
I have one son who's unfortunately right now estranged from me.
Hmm.
So I'm praying.
That's painful too, isn't it? That's painful. Well, we'll be joining you in that prayer, Verna, that there can be some reconciliation in that relationship for you, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your call.
Bless you. I love listening. Bye-bye.
Glad you called. Raising your kids without raising your voice, it's possible. It may be difficult, and it may not be consistent. It's something we have to learn. We learn to become yellers. It's a learned response. And we have to unlearn it by learning some new behaviors. And you're hearing some today. Having a plan of action in advance, that's one thing you can do. I love what our first caller mentioned. If you feel like you need to yell to get their attention, just ask them the question, can you hear my voice? I love that. That's beautiful. Can you hear my voice? We're bringing it right back to the issue, which is, can you hear me? Can you hear me now? And then getting down on their level, being very clear about what you're concerned about, and then following through as an intentional parent. What would you add to that list? 888-1717.
Hi, Randy. This is Jan from Prattville, Alabama. You've made such a difference in my life, and I try to listen to you every day, and And I thank you so much for your ministry and what it means to me and so many others. And I'd like to ask all your listeners today, I would like to challenge them who are listening to send to your program today their best offering to show that it's made a difference in their life. And I just pray that the challenge would meet your budget's needs and then some. Thank you again. Jan from Prattville, Alabama. Bye-bye.
And that's, well, first of all, I want to say thank you for your support. And then your words of endorsement and encouragement mean a lot. And we are blessed. I mean, I tell my wife and our team on a regular basis, you know, we're really blessed people to be a part of a community with other believers. And I know we're all in different places on the planet and we're all in different situations, but we have this bond that pulls us together, that we love the Lord. We want the best for our families, for the community, and we want our lives to matter. I don't think you listen to a program called Intentional Living if you want to be an unintentional person. And so when we talk about these different topics and hear these stories, it's all about encouraging each of us to live that intentional life in Christ. So thanks to all of you who helped us over this last year. We wrapped up last June 30th. And now in this brand new first month of this next fiscal year, I hope you would take Jan's encouragement and come and join us. And when you do, by the way, if you're a new member, and those of you who are current members of our Intentional Living community, you'll be receiving our masterclass teaching. It comes out every month, about mid-month. We send it out, both video and audio, to your email. And this month and next month, part one, part two, is on how to experience hope, the power of experiencing hope. One of the statements, in fact, I lead with this statement in this lesson. Hope is assured. We know that hope is in Christ. I mean, it's limitless, the amount of hope available. But experiencing hope is optional. And I think many times we don't experience all that God has for us in this hope department. And so these two lessons this month and next month are intended to encourage you to experience hope. As I give 10 biblical teachings from Scripture on not only what hope is, but in this case, how you experience it. 10 very specific things you can do. So if you're not a member, come and join us. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or during West Coast business hours, you can always call and talk to our staff and come and join Intentional Living, 888-888-1717. That's 888-888-1717. And boy, God bless you for your support. This will make your life a lot easier. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Minute. Here it is, stay sharp. You know, it says in Ecclesiastes 10:10 that if an axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then it must use more strength. I mean, that makes common sense. Have you ever tried to use an axe or a saw or any sort of sharp object when it's dull? It takes so much extra work to do the job that it was intended to do. So for a practical matter, every day learn something new, you know, to stay sharp. Whatever career that you have, whatever goals that you've set, learn something new. Read every day. Listen every day. Grow every day. So here's one thing. School's never out in life. Learn something new today and put it to work in your life. And when you do that one thing, that's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com. Are you making intentional choices every day? If the answer is yes, you've probably seen God doing some amazing things as you focused your life on Him, and we'd love to hear about it.
I wanted to share with you what it means to have intentional living for me.
And I'm being intentional by praying for people who have needs daily.
How are you choosing to be intentional with your life? Tell us about it when you call 888-888-1717 and encourage others with your story of intentional living.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy.
Thank you, Kurt, and welcome if you just joined us here at the Intentional Living Center. Intentional Living is figuring out what pleases Christ in doing, and it's really purpose-driven. It's in terms of where you're headed. It's directional. Making a decision and then living it out, knowing what you believe and then living it out. Stretching toward a goal that's going to give your life more meaning and purpose and joy and contentment and peace. Listen, you can do it. It may start with just one thing. What's that one thing that would make a big difference? We're in one area today, not raising your voice with your kids, being an intentional parent. This one thing would be a very intentional thing to do. What's your take on it? How to raise your kids without raising your voice.
My husband is military, so I have been a disciplinarian, mother, father for quite some time, and tensions get high. I yell. He's not gone as much anymore, but the yelling is still there.
Well, I am a recovering screamer and yeller, and the way I was yelling at her about, you know, hurry, we're going to be late for school, or hurry, you need to get dressed, we need to get to church, you know, or whatever. And I saw where I was chipping away at her, and that if I didn't stop, she might not come to me. She might go to somebody else, trust with her heart.
Boy, that's you say it better than I can. That's why we play all of your stories, because you guys say it so well. Sandra, welcome to the program today.
Hi there. How are you today?
Good. I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for your call.
No problem. And I was never a yeller because I was never yelled at as a child.
It is learned,
so
isn't it?
So I didn't also yell. But what I would do, if the kids were out of hand, I could not get their attention, I would talk normal. And then all of a sudden I would go, and very quietly I would say, I'm your mother, and this is the way it is. And it got quiet, and the kids' eyes would get just huge. And they would tell their kids, because they're all grown now, and they would say to my grandkids, if you go to grandma's house and she says, because you're doing something, she goes, I am your grandmother and this is the way it is, stop right now. Whatever you're doing, sit still and listen to her because you're in some serious trouble. So they always knew if I got quiet, there was some serious trouble. I was at the end.
Yeah, when mom gets quiet, everybody has to stop because they're thinking something's up. Think about it. Think about it in terms of your kids for a moment. When they were little, and you wanted them to come to you. Have you ever noticed, you say, come to mom, and if they're in one of those obstinate moods, have you ever noticed that if you approach them, they'll back off even more, kind of like they play a game with you? And that's the way it is with yelling. The kids pretty well figure out mom doesn't really mean it until the vein in her neck starts to rise. You know, when it starts to rise, or when the decibel units get up over 150 decibel units, then mom's serious. Kids have this intuitive way of knowing when mom and dad really mean it. And so I think what Sandra just reminded us is lower your voice. Sometimes whisper. You ever notice kids pay attention when you whisper? You pay attention when there's a change, and being quiet is a positive thing. No question about it. Good advice. Thank you, Sandra. Appreciate your call.
Yeah. Okay. We have a nice day.
Thank you. We are. We are indeed. Doug in Iowa, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. It says here your ex-wife was a yeller, huh?
Well, she was, and it was not something that I had grown up with, so I wasn't really used to that.
Yeah, so what did you learn through all that?
Well, I saw some conditions of the environment come back to me and play out a big part in how my children have grown up. And because I was always the quiet one, and my father was the kind of person who was very, very quiet. My mother was too, but my father was the guy who, whenever he talked, you always wanted to hear what he had to say because it was very important. And so it was neat when I was married and my children were growing up, I was the quiet one, and I always found that they were the one, they would come and sit on my lap just to talk quietly.
Yeah,
and I've found that now my grandchildren are doing the same thing. You know, there can be a room full of people, and the grandchildren will come and sit on my lap, or even other children, because I think they appreciate that quiet sense of respect that you're giving everyone. And I have found that I'm in a current situation now where I'm in a business. In a fairly recent job, and there's no respect, and there's lots of yelling and lots of curse words and hurting curse words that fly. And if I feel like God has put me in this place with my quietness and open and tender heart to touch the people that need it in my work environment, And I just feel like you condition yourself, and that's reflective of a lot of what people will see in you, and they'll try to emulate and pull that into their life.
Well, what the children need, adults need as well, that's quietness, understanding. Sometimes even in the workplace, there needs to be a consistency and follow through. Certainly there needs to be a form of discipline or discipleship or training, teaching with adults and with children. But yelling, I don't know, or it's ever been found to be effective. It just simply isn't. But learning to be intentional is what we're talking about today. And some of the things that you've been hearing, and others that are going to be shared as people share their stories with us on our storyline, and what we have available on our website, remind us that the quiet words of the wise, as the scripture said, are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. And so my encouragement to you today is your one thing for the next 30 days, maybe just starting today, take it one day at a time, one thing for today: I will not yell at my kids. I will listen. I will follow through. I will take what I've heard and apply it, because that will make all the difference as a parent. It really will. Try it. One thing as a parent, and let us know how it goes for you.
And mama is the opposite of my dad. Where dad is calm, cool, and collected, mama can't spell calm, cool, and collected. Mama is a screamer. Do you know what a screamer is? Kids, don't point. Someone you don't pay any attention to until she hits a certain pitch. And you know she's hit that certain pitch when garage doors fly open all over the neighborhood. She used to look at me and say, "Mark, you just wait till your dad comes home." My dad always came home. He'd walk through the door from work. First thing he'd hear is my mother, "Charles, you gotta talk to Mark." My dad would go,
That's Mark Lowry putting into a fun perspective about, hey, mama and dads, let's not be screamers, right? Because he made it as a fun, but it's a truth. They don't listen to you after a while until you get to that certain level. All right. Hey, as we wrap up the show today, raising your kids and not raising your voice, I hope you found some one thing that you could do. In fact, let me encourage you. You've just given several minutes or maybe the whole half hour to listening to Intentional Living. Don't walk away from this time without taking one thing that you say, "I will commit to for the next day, 2 days, maybe for the next 30. That would be my one thing for my kids, for my family, for myself." What is that one thing? We'll be praying with you about it. I'm Dr. Randy. For Stephen Davis and the rest of the team here at Intentional Living, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Thanks for being a part of the program. And we'll be back next time. We're going to talk about decluttering your life. We'll see you then.